Good evening, everyone. It is a very memorable Easter Saturday today. We have never had this situation before where all the churches around the world are closed and most of us are spending this weekend at our own homes. However, let us remember that the church still exists. And in this most holy weekend, I would like all of us to ponder through, what does the cross of Jesus mean to a world plagued with fear, uncertainty, economy downturn, or the possibility of no recovering with the spread of the coronavirus? This is, after all, the apprehension felt by many experts and world leaders at this time. Now, I believe God our Father will not want His children to fear in whatsoever situation. Now, let me ask you, my brethren, do you recall what is the most often mentioned negative prohibition by our Lord Jesus in His ministry on earth? He always said, "Fear not. Do not fear. Do not be afraid." You hear this all the time from the Lord's mouth. God knows how helpless we could be and how paralyzing fear can be. And just as the world is hoping for good news, for infections to go down, for vaccines to be developed, why are we Christians still wholeheartedly remembering the Son of God now? Why did God, in all the fears and turmoil in the history of mankind, choose to send His Son? And how does the sending of His Son calm our fears or remove the turmoil and disasters in this world, you may ask? Well, the simple answer to that is, by sending His own Son, God seeks to remove the root of all fears and turmoil, and to remove it totally. And it is no wonder our Lord Jesus is referred to as the Prince of Peace. In the messianic prophecy given in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, our Lord Jesus was referred to as the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And yes, His counseling, His mightiness, His everlasting attributes ultimately must result in peace. But how does that peace come about, you may ask? Now, I'm going to imprint this truth upon our hearts. That is, the peace of God comes through intense strife and conflict, so to speak. If you could recall, Jesus said in His own words in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 34. Now, let me read to you this verse. Matthew chapter 10, verse 24. In Jesus' words, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against his mother-in-law." Now, I suppose it might puzzle quite a few people why the Prince of Peace did not bring peace in this case, but a sword. Now, the simple answer to that question is because man has pursued peace in their sins. Man has not understood how sins had filled this world with so much evil, selfishness, and strife within. And it is not possible for everlasting peace unless the problems of sins are thoroughly dealt with. So how did God deal with sins, my friends? God dealt with it with the cross, which brings both the sword and peace. Our Lord Jesus, who is God Himself and also the only sinless man, went up on the cross to pay for all our sins. In 6 hours of most arduous suffering, where the most glorious deity was hung on the cross like a piece of flesh, subjected to the most intense shame and torture, and by doing so, He made peace between us and God. But what goes on behind the scene of the cross? What goes on in the spiritual realm when the Son of God was reduced to such a wretch on the cross? And that is all evilness, selfishness, conflicts, strife, killings, and deprivations of all kinds which lay deep in the souls of men were laid upon Him. The full wrath of the Father God came upon His Son on the cross, and the Son was considered so wretched at that point that he carried all our sins, that the Father has to turn his face away from him. But how did the world respond to his death? How did the world reject his salvation? Now, my dear friends and all who are listening to this video, do not think that God has taken away our peace with this current pandemic or with any turmoil in this world. The coronavirus merely brought out the reality of sins. There is no true peace even without the coronavirus. And today, even as the world is in turmoil now, let us humbly remember the cross again. Through the cross, God is removing every sin, every evil, every strife and conflict in us. And for that to happen, the cross has to bring the sword first. The sword comes before the peace. As Jesus said, "I have come to bring the sword." And with his cross, the Son of God has brought a sword into the hearts of men to reveal how sinful he is. He has brought a sword into the relationship of man to show how self-centered each of us is. He has brought a sword into this world to show how prideful we are. There was an unbelieving husband who came to me and told me how his relationship with his believing wife had suffered a meltdown ever since she started going to church. In fact, the wife did not visit any church for years after her conversion in order to appease her husband. But after 5 years, she decided it was enough. And when she started visiting our church, her love for the Lord and his church grew leaps and bounds. Yet the strain in their marriage becomes greater as a result of that. Her husband merely wants her to believe in moderation and not be overly religious. Now indeed, I saw the sword coming between them. But the Lord is in fact bringing true peace to their marriage. I saw how much the Lord loves the wife and would want to save the husband through her. But the sword, which is the strife, the differences, the struggles, is inevitable. The sword has to perform its function before true reconciliation can come upon spouses, upon families, upon societies. The sword has to pierce our pride and remove the tumor of self-centeredness in our lives. And it's not a pleasant feeling. It's not welcomed by the sinful and prideful nature. Yet for all who are humbly dealt with by the sword, for all who confess their sins and turn from their pride, there the peace of the cross will come upon him. On my last note, I would like to reiterate that our Lord Jesus would never wish for his loved ones to live in fear and apprehension. If you would turn with me to the book of John, chapter 20, and this is right after our Lord Jesus' resurrection. And what happened, as you could read, in John chapter 20, on the evening of that first day of the week when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Now it was a glorious Sunday. It was the Lord's day, yet the disciples were overwhelmed with fear and they locked the doors tight as they gathered. Even then, there was not enough to dissipate their fear. Yet the Lord came and stood among them, and the very first thing the Lord said to them was, "Peace be with you." Now the Lord valued the peace in our hearts more than anything else, in case you are mistaken, my brethren. The Lord takes no pleasure in our fear. So even in this time of widespread pandemic, the Lord gives peace, and he gives true peace, not as the world gives. So do not settle for a fake peace, a peace that never lasts. Do not settle for a peace that's anchored upon things that are temporal and perishable. The spread of the coronavirus can be alarming, but it is rendered powerless before the peace of God. So embrace the cross, let the sword be with you, and the peace of God will come upon you. I wish you a most peaceful and meaningful Easter Saturday.